Psalm chapter 51. Restarting in life. I started off so bad as a Christian because I was just so messed up, had so far to go. It seemed like I was restarting every day. And I always marveled when Christians would even when I was a young Christian, Christians would talk about, oh, I've messed up or I've done this so bad or whatever. And I would just like, hey, confess it and get going again. And I always marveled how Christians couldn't understand that they were forgiven and just move on and start new. And because your sin is not greater than God's grace. Where sin had abound, grace did much more abound. God's grace is greater. And I want to look at Psalms 51. And it's a very powerful chapter. David had messed up and he was confessing his sin here. He had committed murder and adultery and a baby had died because of it, and all kinds of bad things. He'd really messed up. And he says in Psalms 51, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness of the bones which I was broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Let's pray and talk about restarting. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. What an honor it is to try to explain the grace and mercy of you, Father, but how inadequate that a human is, Lord. Father, if we had a really merciful person on earth, it would be wonderful to talk about. And yet you're a holy God who hates sin and a holy God who knows everything we do. And yet you still have mercy new every morning. And it's unexplainable and it's beyond comprehension. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. But I do pray, Lord, in some small way you take my tongue and you take my lips, you take my body, my mind, my thoughts, everything, Lord, I pray you take it. And I pray you'd speak to hearts, and I pray you'd help them to grasp how great you are and how great it is to have a clean slate and to start over again with you, Lord. I pray you just work powerfully in this service, and we ask for your spirit to move. I ask for your spirit to just anoint me with great power and to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of us have not blown it like David has, like David had. I've blown it before. I've messed up pretty good. I've done a lot of bad things in my life, both before I was a Christian and since I've been a Christian. You would call the stuff I did before I was a Christian more egregious. You would say they're worse things, worse sins, because we scale sins a certain way. And I did a lot of bad things. I'm not worthy to be standing up here. And once I got saved, well, I didn't do as bad of things as I used to do. I haven't done drugs since I've been serving God. I haven't drank since I've really been serving God. I did a little bit when I was first a Christian. I haven't killed anybody lately, but don't take a chance. Be good, nice to me. I haven't cussed in weeks. I haven't cussed in probably, 20-some years. I haven't chewed tobacco since the last time I did when I was, I guess, 17. I haven't done a whole bunch of those kind of things. But, you know, then I was in darkness, and I was in ignorance. But, you know, I know better now, and I still do things. Now, I don't do those things. But you know what? There's a lot of things you can do that are bad. So I never look down on anybody. Hey, my sins, and you say, Pastor, what are they? You tell me first. And no, I'm not going to tell you. And when I do my things now, I know God so much better. He's been so good to me. I should never mess up. I know enough Bible now, and I've walked with Him enough, and I've prayed and stuff that and all the access to the power of the Holy Spirit and all the things that I know about, I have no excuse now. And it's a shame when I mess up because I know better, and the Bible teaches that you're accountable when you know more. And I blow it, and I wish I didn't. I remember in Bible college, somebody asked, what do you want love most about heaven? And some people got up and said a word, and one of the guys got up there and just started weeping, and it just said that I will never disappoint God again. And they said, that's the thing I like most about heaven. And I think that's very profound, very spiritual. But when you mess up, we mess up, and we're humans, we fail, and we all have sinned, and there's none righteous, and all those things. David had really blown it really bad because David knew better. David was a godly man. David is a man who wrote parts of the Bible before this time. David is a man who God did miracles. He killed Goliath before this time, made him king, protected him from Saul, gave him great gifts. God did amazing things for David, and then David committed adultery. And then in trying to cover up the adultery, he killed somebody. And he was very guilty. And then he didn't confess it. He didn't get it right for 10 months, 9 months at least. And the prophet came to him and pointed his finger at him and said, thou art the man, you've sinned. And David confessed his sin. And then he wrote this Psalms 51 in confession of his sin to get it right with God. When David did that, he really, really grieved God. He really mistreated his family. He brought a lot of bad things, and he just blew it. There's no other way to say it. He messed up really bad, and he wrote this psalm. And the amazing thing about this, as a guy who committed adultery, already knew better, committed murder, and his baby died because of it, and all kinds of bad things, all of that, he came to this psalm, and in the middle of the psalm of confessing his sin, he still had hope. That's the amazing thing. He says in this chapter, as he's talking in Psalms 51, he says a lot of different things. He had hope in several things, although he understood that he had suffered and would suffer consequences. He says, verse 8, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He knew he'd already suffered consequences, and sin will always give you consequences. It's not pretty when you're a Christian. If you're not saved, you're not his child. He doesn't discipline people who aren't his children. Once you're his, you get consequences. And it's not good, and you get consequences. Sometimes consequences can go on for a lifetime. I think David's son did bad because the sword didn't depart from David's house, and David had some serious problems with his children and things because of things David had did. And consequences come along, and you understand that. Somebody might not be able to do totally the will of God if they don't straighten out in time. For example, a deacon or a pastor might disqualify themselves from the ministry by their sin. And they might never be able to be a deacon or a pastor again because they disqualify themselves because they have certain requirements. And David, knowing that he had done wrong and knowing that he suffered consequences, in this chapter came and was looking forward to the future when God forgave him because he knew that God could still use him. And he was looking forward to several things in this chapter. It's strangely enough the most contrite chapter in the Bible of sin, and yet a chapter full of hope. And let me give you some things here that he had hope in. Number one, he had hope in being totally clean. Psalms 51 and verse 7, purging with hyssop. Hyssop was a branch, a bush, and you would and it was used several times in the Bible. You dipped it in blood at the Passover and put it on the doorposts, and you would sprinkle water in a house where it had been defiled. So it was used for ceremonial things. And he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, he is talking in the future tense. That's amazing. In people don't wash you whiter than snow. If I went and I offended Matthew terribly bad, I could ask forgiveness, and Matthew might be a person with great ability to forgive, and he might not. But the average person says, all right, I forgive you, but don't you ever do it again. And by the way, I'm holding it against you, and you know how it is. Sometimes you go up and ask forgiveness, and they're still talking about it a year later. And they're not able to let go. And by the way, Christians should be able to let go and forgive. But you know what? Christians, very few, very, very, very few, there's a special gift some people have. It's the ability to forget. Very rare. Very, very rare. Most Christians can forgive, they don't forget. When you're washed with somebody, you're not necessarily white as snow. Think of a whole snowy field, just not a spot on it. God says, I will wash you whiter than that. I think some people think when God forgives you for your sin, he says, all right, I forgave you, but you know, I still remember what you... He says, you're whiter than snow. And David was excited about that. He says, you wash me. If you'll wash me, God, I'll be whiter than snow. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity, creating me a clean heart, O God. He says, you can wash me completely clean. And he was looking forward to that. And the Bible teaches that, and we'll get back to that. Number 2, he was looking forward to getting a right spirit again. Verse 10, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. He says, my spirit's not right, and sin will make your spirit wrong. I don't need to look at somebody's life to know when they're not right with God. Their spirit changes. How you doing today? What's wrong? Why? You think I'm doing something wrong? Are you saying I'm doing things wrong? I didn't say that, but now I know that. Your spirit's wrong. Renew a right spirit within me. David got to the point where he didn't care if he killed somebody to keep his sin hidden. When your spirit's wrong, boy, everybody's talking about me. Everybody's accusing me. Everybody's mad at me. Nobody likes me. The preacher's preaching on me. Okay, if you think I'm preaching on you, and you think I sat around all week and I said, what can I preach about you this week? You are an egomaniac. And I don't have time to think about you and prepare a whole message for you. I've got 50 or 60 or 70 other people who have a lot of needs too. I never think about a single person I preach. If you think I'm talking about you tonight, I am, but not on purpose. The Holy Spirit is. Oh, you're talking about me. Oh, you know what? And by the way, all of a sudden, all the godly people become mean. They don't think they become mean. Nobody else thinks they become mean, but you do. Your spirit's wrong. Renew a right spirit within me. My spirit's not right. My spirit is angry. And by the way, when your spirit's not right, you'd be amazed how everything in your life's not right, and you know, have no peace and no joy because your spirit's not right. I can't wait to get my spirit right again. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm saved. God loves me. I'm born again. I'm excited. What a wonderful day. I'm happy today. I'm happy today. I'm happy in the Lord anyway, and it really doesn't matter what comes my way today. I'm going to wear a smile, hold my head up high, and say, I'm happy in the Lord anyway, when your spirit's right. When your spirit's not right, everything's wrong. Because inside, you're just wrong. Number 3, he was looking not only forward to being totally forgiven and getting his spirit right, he's looking forward to being close to God again and being used by God again. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Listen, letting God use you is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And he says, I can't wait for God to use me again. God was using me to help people. God has used me to change life. God has used me to encourage people. And God has not been doing that. God has been using me to drag the testimony of Christ down. God has been using me to discourage people. God has used me to criticize people. And I've done nothing to help anybody. Maybe I'm doing nothing. God says, then when I get right with you, I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto you. Being used by God to influence and help people. And then he looked also forward to being joyful in the Lord again. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He says, restore unto me, make me have joy again that I'm saved. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. You're excited. You're born again. Your name's in heaven. You're excited because you're saved. But boy, you can lose that salvation through sin. Then you're just going, saved by his power. You know, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Man, got to get excited. You're saved. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. I have bloody hands. O God, that the God of my salvation and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He looked forward to praising God again. He looked forward to showing forth God's praise and to sing aloud of God's righteousness. He looked forward to that. He was going to be joyful in the Lord again. He wanted to be right and start over again. He wanted to go back to where he once was, like he was when he was this great psalmist. When he's a guy in a field playing his harp or watching the sheep, he wanted to do that. We like when things are new again. We buy new car scent for our old junkers, don't we? You ever buy new car scent smell for your old junky car? Why? Now, does it make your car new? No, but it smells like it. Doesn't even smell like it, does it? When you have McDonald's bags all over your thing and you put new car scent in, it is going to make it smell like a new car. But you can try. And you put the new car scent in, and you like when things are new. Don't you like the smell of a new car? I hear that it smells real nice. I don't know if it does. But you like that new smell. You like when things are new. You like when things are fresh or exciting. Everything in life is great when it's new. A new relationship, a new day. Start it off and look and say, it's a new day. I haven't messed it up yet. Nobody's messed it up yet. It's a new day. New things are exciting. We love new things, and they're great. I play video games with my kids, and when I play, my kids are competitive for some reason, and I don't know why they're competitive, but they are for some reason. And we play video games, and one of my children in particular, somehow right at the end, Dad just comes back and wins. It's the one we do this most with is Lego Racers. How many people play Lego Racers? Nobody. Okay, you will just buy rooms, raise your hand, and you play Lego Racers, and it's a pretty cool little game, and a lot more clean than what some of you play. That's a good thing. And we play Lego Racers, and oh boy, I'll win right at the end. And when I win, you know what my kids say? Timothy, where's Timmy? He says, "Restart over, restart over," and he pushes escape, and then he clicks it down to restart game. Yes. Restart over, restart over, until he wins. Isn't that evil? Can you believe he does that to his dad? And we play those games. And I play with my kids. And boy, we want to start. And you know what's, you know when you're playing a game by yourself and you're doing terrible? And you know what the best thing in the world is? Restart. That's why it's better to play free video games than going to the store. Remember when you have to put quarters and 50 cents in? Oh my soul, then you do bad? That's the worst. Remember the old days, the Atari 2600, top right-hand button, restart. All day long, didn't matter if I was playing combat, didn't matter what I was playing, restart. It was awesome. And you restart the game, 0-0, I got all my men back, life's good. Restarting is good. And you know what the great thing in life? You might be going through life and you got one man left in your game of life and everything's falling apart, but you know with God, you can just start over again. God's merciful. God's merciful. And he loves to be that way. To be restarted, just a few things. I'm just going to give you, more than a few things, but things to get restarted in life and just to get your life so it's just fresh and new. You know what? I have to start all over all the time. I mess up. I didn't help somebody right. I didn't pray enough. I didn't read a Bible enough. I preached a sermon that was just awful, like this one, like some of you are sleeping already. But I did something bad. I yelled at somebody, got mad at my kids. I did something wrong. Whatever you or I do wrong, and you say, man, I just messed it up. Everything's all dirty and messed up and all wrong. I just want to get my spirit right. I want to start all over again. Well, the good thing is you can. First of all, if you want to start all over again, you got to be saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All the things from my life, that all that sin that other people remember, God says all things are new. All my sins gone. It's a wonderful thing when you're saved. If you think that comes from a church or religion or from you being a good person, you're crazy. You're going to keep on messing up the rest of your life. That's why Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to wash away your sin. First of all, you got to be saved. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old you's gone. Number two, be baptized. Be baptized. If I go back to, let me take you back to 1 Peter, but keep your finger in Psalms 51. 1 Peter chapter 3. Got to be saved. That's the first thing. Come to Christ for salvation. Realize without Christ, you'll go to hell. With Christ, you can go to heaven, but you can't save yourself, nor can a religion or good works or anything else save you. Baptism can't do it either. But be baptized. 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, verse 20, which were sometimes were disobedient, and once a long-suffering of God, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto now. Baptism does also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Can I say this? If you want to be renewed in your relationship with God, you need to be baptized somewhere in there, because the Bible says it's the answer to a good conscience towards God. It gets your conscience right with God. So you put away the old life and you said, I'm dead to that old life. I'm living to God now. If you haven't been baptized, you didn't put away the old life and you haven't started again. Start again. And it takes being baptized. After you're saved, not as a baby, by immersion, all the way into the water, once you're saved, you need to be baptized. If you have not been baptized since you've been saved, it's not going to get you to heaven. It doesn't forgive your sins. It says not to put away the filth of the flesh, but it gives you a clear conscience toward God. And you got to be baptized after you're saved. Number three, the one we'll spend the most time about is confess your sin. Is confessing your sin. While we're here, just go a little bit farther back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. It says, 1 John 1, 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Back to Psalms 51. Confess your sin. See, herein lies a big problem. It's called one thing. It's called pride. Pride. Over the last 10 years, dealing with people all the time, just talking to people and working in their lives, can I say there's something major change in people? And about 10 years ago, many, many people moved on from just saying plain old, I sinned, I messed up, to now they got caveats to all their confessions. I'm talking about confessing to me. It doesn't matter. It says confess your sins to God. But it says it's good to confess your sins to people that haven't prayed for you. That's fine. The Bible says in James 5 to do that. But here's what everybody says now. Well, yeah, I went and did that. My mom and dad did this to me. Take the butt out of there. I went and did that. Stop. No, I can't stop. The reason I did that is because of them. You're not right with God. You won't get right. Oh, you know what? The reason I did that is because I was treated like this. I'm sorry that I did that, but you deserved it. No, you're not sorry. You're just caveating everything. You're just adding your little excuse to it. I might have done that, but they did this. Okay, is what you did wrong? Well, yeah, but that. Okay, then stop. Don't say yeah, but. Stop. You do something wrong or not? I am so tired of people not being able to just stand up and say, quit blaming other people. It's not your mama's fault, not your daddy's fault, not your preacher's fault, not anybody else's fault. If you did wrong, you did wrong. Nobody drug you along by the hair and made you do wrong. If you did it, you did it. Stand up and admit it. A lot of people don't get forgiveness from God because they never confess their sin. They just sit around and blame other people. They sit around and say, well, it's really hard for me. Well, I was born this way. I had this thing. Doesn't matter if you're born that way. I was born with a whole bunch of things that I have the ability to do wrong. So were you. No, God made me this way, that's why I do this thing. No, you choose to do it. You might have a temptation to do that, but you choose to do it. God made them that way, or God made me this way. No, everybody has a propensity to sin. You know what? God made me a person who wants to ram the person who cuts me off in the highway. So I guess it's okay if I do that, huh? Right? God made me love to eat lots of food. You know what? If I get fat, if that ever happened, you know what? Why did God make it so I want to eat food so much? Well, I'll choose to overeat and not exercise and be fat and lazy if I get fat and lazy. My fault. It's not my thyroid. It's my bacon burger curling. That's what it'll do it. It's anything else. It's me. It's because I choose to do that. Do some people have more of a problem with weight than others? Sure. Do some people have more of a problem with sexual lust? Sure. Do they have to resist it and overcome it anyway? Yes. Or get married and be very happy in marriage. No excuses. If we confess our sin. Psalms 51, watch what David does. Watch how clear he makes it. Watch how he says, right here, Lord, me. Call it what it is. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You like when these people in the public like the professional athletes or like the Hollywood movie stars. You ever hear, and the politicians, you ever hear the way they apologize now? I'm really apologize if anybody misunderstood my intentions and misguided my mistakes and understood that wrong. Are you apologizing? You ever hear those guys say that? Those ladies say that? I'm really sorry if someone took out of context what I said and misunderstood it. Okay, so you didn't say anything wrong then. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I, you ready for this? Sin sometimes. Flat out, filthy, wrong stuff. Why can't people say that? Why can't people just say, you know what? I did it. It's my fault. We always want to brush it off and say, well, I kind of did wrong, but... Stop. You won't get right with God unless you confess your sin. What, did you sin or not? If you want to keep on blaming your mama, your daddy, your grandpa, oh, you know what? We've got to cross this. My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma. She was burned at the stake in Salem as a witch. And ever since then, I just feel a rejection syndrome. And that's why I don't talk to anybody. Stop. Stop. My dad pushed, my great-grandpa pushed over my great-grandma. She hit her tummy on the coffee table when she was pregnant with my great-grandma, with my grandma. And now I have an anger problem. No, you're nuts. It's you. You know what? If your dad had an anger problem, you might have a problem with your anger. Legitimately. But your dad will not grab your mouth and say, rah, 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 rah. You'll do it. It'll be harder for you than someone who had patient parents. But you'll choose to do it. Stand up and say, I sinned. Those are very important words to God. Lord, I sinned. Not, Lord, I didn't do good enough and made a mistake and I probably shouldn't have. Lord, wash me from my sin. If you don't know you have sin, you'll never know you need saved. You'll never know you need to confess it. You won't get it right. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. He calls it what it is, and then he admits that he did it. Verse 4, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Very important part of the verse right there. He said, God, against you and you only did I do this sin. Did he do something against Uriah? Absolutely. Killed him. Did he do something against his family by committing adultery? Yes. But you know what? Though you go out and you do something wrong, I go out and I steal Matthew's wallet. And I go over and punch Brian in the face, and I go out and I do a bunch of bad things tonight, and I go key your car. I do all that stuff to you tonight. Sounds like fun. I'll go out and do all that stuff tonight, and I do that all that stuff to you tonight. You know what? I did something against you, but you know what? I sinned against God. You know what? I went and got them. I taught them a lesson because they deserve it, but you sinned against God. And what did God do to deserve you to sin against him? Oh, but you don't know how my parents treated me. They deserve me. But you'll still sin against God, even if your parents deserved it. You're sinning against God. You're looking at God and saying, I'm going to sin against you and make you die for that sin. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm rebelling against what you said. I don't care if you said to do it. I'm going to do it anyway. That's what you're doing. You're sinning against the God of the universe. You might justify it. The devil might get you to justify it by thinking what happened to you or how you've been mistreated or what happened in your life or whatever. You might have 1,000 excuses like I have 1,000 excuses. Hey, I grew up in a terrible home. I grew up in a bad atmosphere. I grew up with drugs in my home. I grew up with all kinds of bad stuff. I grew up all kinds of excuses in my life to go do all kinds of things wrong. But I'm not going to take those excuses. I will sin against God if I do. Okay? I don't have to blame my mom, my brother, who's a drug dealer. They did what they did. I'm standing alone. Nobody's making me do drugs today. I will if I do it. You've got to go and confess your sin to God. And watch this. He says, against you I've sinned, Lord. I sinned against you. But you know what? They deserved it. Or he did it. Or she just, I was in this hard position. Or I just didn't. I had to because I, no, you're sinning against God. But it's a hard position I was in and I needed the money. You sinned against God. It's God you sinned against. That's hard to take, and no one wants to preach that, and it's not easy for everybody to accept. But if you sin against God, though you have all excuses in the world, you sin against God. And he's a good God and doesn't deserve you to sin against him. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I am a human being, a fallen human. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I was reading that Bob Jones Sr., a great evangelist. He was writing he wrote a book, and I was reading it. And he talked about he was walking on the street one time, and he met a man who was dressed successful, looked sharp. Just looked like the sharpest guy. It was a country town. And he took time and stopped and just met this guy. And he says, "Hi, my name is Bob Jones Sr." I thought he might be able to witness the guy. And the guy said, "My name's so-and-so." And he started talking to him and getting to know him. And he said, this guy was somebody. He was important. He would just look like a successful, good, strong, solid man, citizen, a great guy, a wonderful guy, kind of guy you'd want your kids to grow up like and your daughter to marry. And he said, "Man, I'm just glad to meet you. You look like a great guy, and you just seem like you carry yourself as a man of virtue and integrity." And he says, "You know what? My whole life hinged on one moment," this man said. It's a long time ago. He said, "I went out," and he said, I had a girl that everybody knew we just loved each other, and we were for each other, and I wanted to marry her, but I could not support her. There wasn't that many jobs." And he says, I went out and I looked for a job and looked for a job and looked for a job. Finally, I landed a job with the railroad a long time ago. I landed the job with the railroad, and the job was a good job, enough to make enough money. And I knew as soon as I got my first raise, I would have enough money to marry her. It came up time. I kept my job. I was watching a station there, and I coordinated two trains that came from different directions, and they had to go on different tracks at the right time and stop at the right spots. And that was my job, and I did that job with everything I had as diligently as I could. And he says, it came at the time to get to where I could go and get the raise. And I knew I'd have enough money to support her, which a man should do before he goes out and gets married. It's free. Nothing to do with the message. That was bonus. And he went out, and he was excited. So he went out, and he bought a ring. And he went there and said, "I want to marry you." And he was the prettiest girl in the world, he says. And he says, she got engaged. And we said, "We're getting married in this many days." That night he went to work, and he was sitting there, and all he could think about is he was getting married, and he got the prettiest girl in the world, and he forgot about his job. And all of a sudden he looked up at the clock, and he told the whole story, but he looked up at the clock, and the trains were way, way, way supposed to be switch different tracks and make other stops, and he's the one who's supposed to coordinate the lights, and the one slows down to give time to the other one to get by and all that stuff. And he realized he had messed it all up, and it was all off in the timing. He was sitting there thinking about his girlfriend, his fiance, the first night of the plan of getting married. Oh, man, he got on the phone, and he ran over, and he got on the phone, and he called the next train station. And he said, "You got to hold this train. You got to call them. You got to change the lights." And he ran down the track to turn something on manually to slow the first train down. He called the other place, and he said, "Oh, my soul, you got to stop the train right there. I don't know if the other one's going to stop." And, boy, that put the train behind. And then the trains behind them got behind. And the trains didn't collide, fortunately, but they missed they had to change their whole schedule, and the trains behind them had to stop, and everything got out of sorts, and everything got messed up. And he said, "I am dead meat." And he said he sat there. Everything still worked. Everything was just off schedule. And he sat there and said, "I'm going to get fired. I'm not going to marry this girl. And my whole life's messed up. But you know what? I'm going to get this thing right." And he took out a pen and paper after everything got straightened out and all the trains went by, and he wrote a letter to his boss and the supervisors. And he said, "I didn't hold a word back." He said, "The truth is, I plan on getting married. I just got engaged. And I was sitting there thinking about this girl. I forgot about my job. I was totally irresponsible. When I realized I did it, I ran down here, turned this thing manually. I called this place. I got it all done. The trains didn't hit each other. They made all their stops, but everything got way behind. I completely deserve to be fired. I know I didn't do my duty right. It's because my mind was on my fiance, and I messed it all up. And I know I deserve to be fired, but I'm asking you not to fire me and forgive me, because I need this job to marry the girl." He told him everything. He didn't try to skim it over and hope they wouldn't notice and knew anything. He sent the letter off to the bosses. This man said his whole life hinged in this moment. And he became a great man because of it. Not his supervisor, but above him, the people way at the top of this railroad, came to his day the next work, and he said, oh boy, they're coming here to fire me. And he said, the boss walked up to him and said, you're the guy who wrote this letter right here, right? He says, yeah. He said, boy, you caused this. This affects our entire business. You don't understand that? It makes our things late. It makes us look bad, da-da-da-da-da. You understand that? Yes, sir, I understand that. He says, you know, I messed up. I was thinking about my girlfriend, my fiance. And the boss looked at him and says, you know what? We're going to promote you to supervisor. He says, you really did mess up, but you're a man who takes responsibility for your actions, and you fix the problem that you caused, and we know that you're going to tell us the whole truth and just be clear with us if something's wrong, and we need someone in this business who really can trust. And the man moved up in there and moved up to supervisor and moved up and up in that business, became very successful and became a leader in the entire railroad. Why? Because he just said, I messed up. They knew he messed up, but he's a man who fixed his problems and said, I did something wrong. And that's what we can do, is we just confess our sin. It's against God, even if somebody deserves it. It's against God, even if you have a good excuse. It's against thee only have I sinned. Next, if you want to get right with God and start over, believe in God's renewing. Believe in God's renewing. In verse 7, it says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Believe in God's ability to forgive and his renewing. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Psalms, you're probably just getting there, but let me get take you to Psalms 103. Can God really forgive me? Can God really, you know, I've been really bad. The Apostle Paul found that out. He was a killer of Christians, and God was merciful to him. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Psalms 103, verse 11 says this, for as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God says, I removed your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. The east and west never touch. You were never saying, hey, I just checked my compass, I'm east-west. You're never there. They're eternally separated. They go different directions. And as far as east is from the west, God removes your transgressions from you. In other words, they never touch again. They're never associated. They're eternally separated. You know what? I've done things wrong, and you've done things wrong, but if you are saved and you confess your sin, as far as the east is from the west, so far as God removed your transgressions from you, he washes you whiter than snow. Understand, it's not like a chalkboard that God erased. You could still see what it said before. It's totally gone. Believe in God's ability to forgive. But how can that happen? I don't know. Jesus' blood is very powerful. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It washes so completely, so thoroughly. You know, sometimes you get a shirt and you wash it and it's clean, but it doesn't look like nude anymore, does it? Never looks white again. You know, when you confess your sins to God and you are saved, you know your sins are, you're washed as white as snow. Whiter than snow, it says. Whiter than a field, perfect, full of, your sins are eternally removed if you confess them. If you get right with God. Can I tell you today, believe in the ability of God to forgive you. Don't think that God can't totally wash it away. And you think you're going to be good enough by your own good works to wash away your sin? You're going to impress God because you're so good now? No way. Only God dying on the cross will wash away your sin. Next, once you believe and confess your sin and believe Jesus can wash it away, be renewed every day. Lamentations 3:23 says, thy mercies are new every morning. You know, if you go and start off, if this is Monday, tomorrow, this thing is so cool, our new little toy. Where you go and you get your sins, you go tomorrow and you mess up tomorrow, and you don't get it right, and you go Tuesday and don't get it right, and Wednesday and don't get it right, and Thursday, and you go a week or two or three. You know what? God's got mercy every day to forgive you, but if you go along, it just gets yucky and icky. You wear a shirt once and it needs washed. You wear it a whole bunch of times, men. You wear it enough times, it's just nasty now. Burn it. When people are telling you to burn it, fellas, time to do something. When it's stuck to you. A little bachelor help there, cold pizza and dirty shirts. Need help on those things. But when you go and you just go in a long way with your sin. And you know what? Every day, that mercies are new every morning. You know, every single day, God, you can start off and say, God, you got mercy for me today. You got a great day for me. This is the day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Have a great day today. Have a great day tomorrow. When you get up in the morning, say, I'm going to get right with God and have a great day. Every day be renewed. Do not let it go for a long time. Last of all, be excited about the renewing in heaven. This world is all messed up, and this old world's going to pass away. And in 2 Peter, the greatest thing is God can forgive you and wash you away and start you all over. You can be used by God again and have a great life serving God if you'll confess your sin, if you'll be right with Him. But you know what? The greatest thing is in eternity, everything will be new and fixed. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Heaven's coming, and everything's new. Behold, I make all things new. No more problems, no more crime, no more mess-ups, no more failures, no more aches and pains, no more ruined lives, no more people doing bad things and tragedy and heartache and cars breaking down and financial problems and people being mean to you. None of that. Look forward to heaven because everything's new in heaven. New body, new earth, new universe, everything's new. Look forward to that. See, you know what? Though you messed up, the reset button's right there in God's presence. We get right tonight with God tonight. We can just say, you know what, Lord, I messed up. I've sinned. You know what? David said, I'm excited. I sinned. I did something terrible, Lord. But Lord, renew everything and cleanse me, and I'll sing your praises, and I'll teach sinners, and they'll be converted to you, and I will be clean and washed away. He was excited about God's ability to forgive. That's yours tonight just as much as it was his. God loves you and has great mercy for you. Tonight, if you're not saved, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you'd have no access to that starting over. Your sins are yours, and they'll be yours for eternity unless you come to Christ. And nothing can stop that. I can't stop it. A church can't stop that. Only letting Jesus wash away your sins will stop that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your ability to start over. Thank you for the reset button in life, that when we messed up like David, Lord, we can go to you and say, you have a great life for me, Lord. Lord, you can use me again, and I can praise you again, and I can be washed totally clean. Thank you for that, Lord. You're a good God, and you're amazing, and your mercy, and your power, and your ability. But Lord, sometimes we don't take advantage because of our pride. Sometimes we blame other people. Sometimes we just get distracted and forget what we've done is wrong. Sometimes we won't admit it. Sometimes Lord, can want to continue in it, Lord. There's many reasons we don't get right. And sometimes we just don't believe in your ability